Good to see you. Is it good to see me? Well, we were in our study of kind of Luke and or the Gospel according to Luke. So if you have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, electronic device, mobile apps, whatever that it is that you use, you know, it's be on the screens. Luke chapter 11 and verse 23. That's exactly where we left off last time. That's exactly where we're going to pick up this time because there's something right underneath it you got to see. Okay? So, as we're looking at it, Jesus is confronting the religious system who has a media blitz going out and wants the population to believe that Jesus has a demon, that Jesus is actually powered or empowered or controlled by Beelzebub. And this is what he's doing. So we looked at it last week as he began confronting that thing, and we're going to finish it up this week, or at least look at that part of it in the same context of him dealing with this slanderous thing that's being said about him by the religious people about Jesus, the Son of God. So let's go ahead and read the verse that we're going to begin with, and we'll jump into the verse that's under it here. Luke 11:23 says, "He who is not with me is what? Against me." So there is no neutral zone. There's no Switzerland. There's no place to go. Either you're in or you're out, right? And he who does not gather with me, what? He scatters. So you're either a part of the solution or you're a part of the problem. You're gathering or you're scattering. So this is what Jesus ended what we talked about last time was saying. And the reason that he said it to them was because they were trying to be in that neutral zone. And he's letting them know you can't be there. They were trying to decide what to do with Jesus. Was he really from heaven or was he from hell? Is he who the Pharisees said he was or is he who he said he is? You know, that's what they were in this thing going on here. And Jesus is letting them know, you can't do that. That's not just going to work. And a lot of people are that way today, are they not? Don't you know a lot of folks that are there? They're not really against Jesus, but they're not really with him. And so Jesus says, well, it doesn't matter because if you're not with me, you're against. We don't have that neutral place there. And if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And he says it's one way or the other. And you know people like that, and I know people like that as well. And the problem here is the next verse that we're going to be looking at, because what it does is sets you up to be a haven for demons. And this is why he says you can't be there. You're going to be filled with God and his presence, or you're going to be filled with evil in his presence. So let's take a look at this, okay? Let's take a look. Luke, 11:24, next verse, the very next verse that we just read, he jumps right into this. He says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it doesn't say why or how it comes out, it's just come out. When it comes out of a man or a woman, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Now, look at that and tell me, what is this hobo demon looking for? What is he out looking for? Rest. So the picture that Jesus is giving us here is that a demon or a evil spirit finds rest in us. We become its house. It's like after we get done here today, we may go eat or whatever, but eventually we're going to go to our house. And it's at our house we rest. And so this is what Jesus is projecting here. And he goes on, he's looking for this place of rest, and he's seeking it, and he doesn't find it. And then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept and clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven. How many to start with? One. It goes and takes seven other spirits. Now I want you to see this. More wicked than itself. So what we're seeing here is that there are levels of wickedness. There are levels of evil. Levels of it. And I think this is one of the primary things that Jesus wanted them to get and wants us to get. You see, what this is that when it comes into us, it can empower us a little or it can empower us a lot. It's according on how many's in there and what they are of. They control our thinking, they control our talking, they control what we do, but they energize us. And so people are energized by evil spirits to do evil things. Okay, so just looking at that. So they come in and they live there, and they bring in seven more wicked than itself, and then they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that man or that woman is worse than the first. Now, I'm reading on. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd, imagine this, called out and said, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And here's where we're going after today, and here's where Jesus brought it. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation." Whoa. Okay. Now, what I want you to see is see where Jesus was taking this. He really wasn't just giving a teaching here on demonic activity and how demons operate and how wickedness happens. That's not really what he's after. What he's after and where he's taking this is to that generation. What he's saying is, you're saying that I'm the one with Beelzebub? You're saying that I'm influenced and energized and empowered by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, the god of mess, the god of flies? Is that what you're saying? No, you're the ones. You're the ones. This whole generation. You're the ones that are empowered by the evil. You're the ones that are demonically controlled. And the evil is coming through this religious system, this Judaistic system, this legalistic system that's telling you, "I'm not of God." And what they're going to do is cause you to miss heaven and go to hell. They're going to take you to hell. I'm not the one with the problem. You guys are the ones with the problems. So this is where Jesus is taking this. Now, I think we've all, maybe not experienced this, but we've seen this happen to people. You know, somebody's, their life's a mess. And maybe they end up in prison, incarcerated. And while they're there, maybe they get, jailhouse religion. Anyway, maybe they'll turn their lives around and that thing comes out. And they get out and they've got their lives cleaned up. Their lives are in order. And you watch them for a couple of years, perhaps even. But as you watch them, it's like that thing comes back. Not as bad, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times worse. You ever seen that? Maybe somebody goes to rehab. They get cleaned up. They get their lives in order. They get out. They do well for a while. But the thing comes back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times worse this person becomes. We've all seen it. Maybe some of us have even experienced it. But this is the way it happens. Now, I get to do what I do. I get to see this frequently, too frequently. People will come, their lives will be a mess, things will be out of order, their marriage will be falling apart, their children will be falling apart, their lives will be falling apart, all kinds of addictions and all kinds of stuff happening in their life. They start coming to church, the thing leaves, and it looks like things are getting better for them. And it's strange how it works, because it seems as though things are getting better for them, I see them less. And you know, they'll start missing Sundays and missing life group and not reading, praying, studying, whatever. And you check on them a couple of years later. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So we've all seen this. But this isn't what Jesus is really wanting us to grasp and get our heads around. He's really wanting to see what he's focusing on and really wanting these people to hear what he's talking about. So this wasn't the first time this happened. This also happened when Jesus was ministering in Galilee, and he's down in Judea. This also happened earlier in his ministry, maybe a year or two earlier, when he was in Galilee. And Matthew wrote about that one. Matthew recorded that one. And I want to read that. It's a very similar story, but in it, it's more pointed. It's more obvious as to what Jesus is really looking at. So let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. Similar story, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. And then it says, "I will return to the house I left." And when it arrives, it finds its house unoccupied. Now that's the problem. The problem is that when people get in this neutral zone, when they get complacent with God, they're unoccupied. They just become a haven a place for evil spirits to come because they're unoccupied. There's no presence of God there. And it's a very dangerous place to be when you're not with Jesus and gathering with Jesus. You become unoccupied and a haven for demons. He goes on. Put it back up. There you go. You ahead of me. It finds a house unoccupied, swept and clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. And here's what I wanted to read, wanted you to see, where Matthew and both Luke bring this to. That is how it might be. That's how it could be. Maybe it'll be this way. No. This is how, Scripture, please. This is how it will be with this generation specific, with this wicked generation. What is he saying here? Let's make sure we get it. Okay, take it down. All right. What he's saying here is that this generation is going to see it not just one time, two, three, four, five, six, seven, but it's going to be eight times worse than anything you've ever seen. You think it's bad now? This is how it will be with this wicked generation. Again, Jesus says, you think I got problems? You think I'm the one who's demonically influenced? Listen, you guys got problems. It will be this way. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, just a few verses above where we read, is where Jesus talks about the unpardonable or the unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And what's so interesting is that it's all in the same context. So by our looking and getting our heads wrapped around this a little bit, we will understand this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit thing a little bit better. I think we'll get some insight to it. Because, people, there comes a place where God cannot help you. Listen, I got you some references there in your notes. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. You can also read about it in Hebrews chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 11, it talks about the branches that were grafted in, which are the Gentiles. But Paul says, be careful. He might cut you off too. There comes a place in a person's life where nothing else God can do. And so it's in this situation that we're looking at here that we've got to understand what Jesus is really talking about. And he's talking about a generation. Now, both Luke and Matthew bring it to that place. They bring it to that generational. This generation is a wicked generation. Now, what Jesus had done is he began in the north or the top of the nation, and he went to the bottom, Judea. He began in Galilee and went all the way through it. And as we talked about last time, he was casting out demons by the finger of God. Remember that? And so then he went through just cleaning it. But then they went. But Jesus says, they're coming back. And they're coming back with vengeance. They're coming back worse than you've ever seen before. Eight times worse. It's going to be bad. And this is what he says. Now, doing what I do and studying scriptures like I study them, you see, this is what happened. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 9, I have you the reference there in your notes. In chapter 9, in verse 2, it says that the abyss was opened. In the King James Version, what it says there is the bottomless pit was opened. And out of it, what John writes, there is locusts, these locusts that darkened the sky. There were so many of them. And these are the locusts that's got the stinger on their tail, you know. And now dispensationalists say these are helicopters. And that's what's going to happen at the end of time. These are helicopters. But the strange thing is that these guys, these helicopters, have a king. Adamon and Apollon in the Greek and the Hebrew is who's the king is. Helicopters don't have a king. What I'm wanting you to see is that these are demons that are being released. And if you read down just a little bit further into verse 15 there, what it talks about there is it says four angels, but these aren't good angels. These are bad angels because they're chained in the river Euphrates and they're released. They're unchained. and they're released, and their job is to kill men. Now, the reason I bring that up is because it seems like such a connection between what Jesus says is going to happen to that generation, what the book of Revelation says is going to happen to that generation. And the book of Revelation is so related there. And we need to be aware of this particular thought. So here Jesus is talking about this demonic activity and how things are going to be on this generation. And then this woman is in the crowd. She just stands up, I guess, and shouts out. I mean, I'm going to give you a word image. We're going to read it here in just a second. But let's read it, and then I'll talk about it. Luke 11:27. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Okay, I mean, so we're having church, okay? We're having church here. And so this woman, right in the middle of me talking, stands up, says, "Delbert, you're such a blessing. Blessed is your mother for birthing you. Blessed is your mother for raising you. She did such a great job. Look, at you're such a blessing to us. Oh, praise God for you." And it seems as though it would be a veneration of Mary, you know, that it's a worship kind of a Mary. But that's not at all it. See, in that society, the greatest compliment you could pay a man was to say you were a blessing to your mama. And it's like she just stands up, you know, and just says, "Hey, I want to change the subject. I don't want to talk about demons anymore. I want to change. How's your mama?" You know, it's kind of like that. But Jesus says, "You know, you're blessed, Jesus. You're such a blessing to us." Jesus says, "Rather, listen. Just because you're praising me and saying good things about my mama and telling me how what a blessing I am, that's really not what really matters here. That's not where you're going to get your blessing. How you're going to get your blessing is by hearing the word of God and obeying it." Now, Jesus said this in John 14:15. He says, "If you love me, what you're going to do is you're going to keep my commandments." I love that. But what's so sad today is I see so many people who say that they love Jesus and they're Christians and they're Christ followers, but they don't even know what his commandments are. They don't know what he even said because they've never heard the word of God. They've never read the word of God and let the word of God talk to them. I ask you a question. What do you think about our generation, about our society concerning the word of God? What do you think? Do you think we're with him or against him? Are we gathering with him or are we scattering? Are we a part of the solution or are we a part of the problem? Our generation, our society, what do you think? See, to me, it's horribly obvious where our generation is. And we wonder why there's such evil. We wonder why all these evil things are happening. I hear people talk about loving Jesus and wanting to hear the word, get a word from Jesus, but they've never read the Bible. They've never let the word speak to them. How about you? Do you ever wonder why sometimes evil things are happening in our lives? Ever wonder why sometimes we're motivated to do some really wicked things? So this woman stands out, and really, it seems so out of place until I put it together. Because in reality, that is just really the secret of what Jesus is about here. That's why Luke put it there. It's just kind of amazing to me. So let's look now at the next thing that is said here in Luke 11:29. As the crowds increased, that's interesting. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for miraculous signs, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." I struggled this week because I really wanted to do Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign. What was Jonah? Jonah was a sign. So as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. You remember Jonah, the story of Jonah and the whale? It really wasn't a whale, but we'll talk about that next time. But a sign was to Nineveh, to the Ninevites. So also will the Son of Man be a sign. Son of Man be to what? this generation. Now, in the Bible, there's not a parenthesis thing that says generation specific. I put that there so that we make sure that we see that. Is he generation specific here? Is what I'm after? Okay, let's take that down. See, how does that read to you? Is my point. How do you read that? Do you read that like that was what was going to happen to the generation then, or a generation 2,000 years later? How do you read that? I think to me, the way I read it, the way it looks to me, is that he's really talking to and about and cautioning the generation to which he was born. He's really talking to and talking about the generation in which he was raised. He's really talking about the generation to which he ministered, to which he went through and drove out demons by the finger of God, to the generation he taught, and to the generation who killed him. Now, that's the way it reads to me. Am I on track? Do you see what I see here? Okay. So this is the first thing, because if you don't get that, your belief and your understanding of the Bible is always something futuristic. It's always something that's going to happen with helicopters and you know, all this stuff is going to be coming down the pipe in the future. But Jesus is talking about that generation that's going to be demon-possessed. He's talking about that generation that's going to get all this stuff happening to them. So I just want you to see this, that he's generation specific here. And then another thing that passage was interesting and said something interesting. It says, as the crowds increased, Jesus said these things, said, this is a wicked generation. Now, it wasn't that crowd only. As from now on, the crowds would be increasing until the time that Jesus would go into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And, you know, the triumphal entry would happen. The crowds would continuously increasing. And as the crowds increased, he said it more, and he said it more, and he said it more. He hammered it, and he hammered it, and he hammered it. I struggled this week with this sermon, with this lesson, whatever it is that I do. And I went home yesterday, and I still didn't know what I was going to really do. And I told Judy, I said, I don't know. Let's talk about this. Let's see if we can figure out what to do here, because it's so repetitive now. I'm kind of saying the same things I said last week, and next week I'm going to be saying the same thing I'm saying this week, and it just didn't. You know, I'm saying, it's like in the Book of Revelation. You know, 3 years study there, and okay, we got it. You know, he was saying the same thing over and over and over. Okay, we got it, we got it. Well, this is the thing. Jesus wanted those people to get it. He wanted that generation to get it. He was so concerned about their souls and what was going to be happening to those people, that they were going to be so filled with evil and such a horrible time was coming upon them. He wanted to help them. He wanted them to hear it. And he hammers it, and he hammers it, and he hammers it, and he hammers it. And so for the next several weeks, I'm going to have to hammer it. And I'm going to try to find some neat ways and different ways of making it interesting. But you're going to get it. We're going to get it. And our belief in God is not going to be a future God. And not going to be a God that's way out there. It's a God that's right now. Right now. Now, I know Jesus was generation specific. It's real clear that he was. But I think that we, to make this relevant, must step back and look at our generation and its wickedness. What do you think? What do you think about our generation and our society? To me, I'm going to tell you how I see it. I see it as the most wicked, the most evil society ever. I see it getting worse and worse. As you look at it historically, in at least the recent future, since mostly time has been recorded, this is a wicked generation. What used to be sacred is now mocked. What used to be done in the closet is now paraded in the open. What evil is actually publicized, and not in a negative way. It's publicized in a positive way. And at the expense of being politically correct, we are jeopardizing our children. We're letting them be taught evil. We're letting them be taught that not only is this acceptable, but it's to be embraced. What used to be sin and wrong and should be avoided is now cool. We're promoted, energized to do it and to participate in it. I was sitting at my house the other day. You know, I watch television and this Kindle Fire commercial come on. Right in my face. I mean, out of the blue. I was hit with it.
What?
I mean, you can't advertise a Kindle Fire reading pad and not get blasted with this stuff? I mean, what do you think? Is our generation, is our society with him or against him? Is our society gathering with him or scattering in a part of the problem? What's going on with our society? Are we filled with evil? Have we become a haven of demonic activities? Or are we filled with the presence of God? And what can change it? What can change it? What could change that generation? Was there a change that generation could have experienced? What was it? It was standing in front of them, wasn't it? And it's standing in front of us. But we're energized by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different levels of evil. It's everywhere. It's not just United States of America. It's everywhere. And there is only one solution. And you cannot be neutral. You cannot be Switzerland here. You're going to be a haven of demons, or you're going to be filled with the presence of God. And this is what Jesus is saying in this context. And as we step back and look at our generation, what is happening? Well, that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. Happening to us, exactly what happened to them. So what's down the road for us? What's heading down the trail, you know, for us? Now, here's what it says. Now, what's really strange here is that we can see that our generation is evil. We can see this and we can say it so easily. But what's shocking is that Jesus said it about his generation. This is shocking because his generation, that society would have been the most God conscious, the most moral, the most religious society that had ever been in existence. It lived the law. I mean, it was the most religious society ever. It's easy to see us seeing our generation as evil, but it's so shocking and so different because it would appear, would it not, that these were the most close to God people, God conscious people that ever existed. But the opposite was actually true. These were the most evil-filled people. It would seem as though the people who were actually against Jesus and the people who were actually the problem and the people who were not gathering with Jesus, it would appear that those people were the most religious. They dressed right. They talked right. They looked right. They looked the part, did they not? But in reality, they were the wickedest. See, what I want you to see is that these people were not pagans. These were not people that you would consider far from God. These were not idol worshipers. These were God worshipers. These were people that were supposedly seeking after God and loving God, but in reality they hated God. These were Jews. These were Jews. The worst state that a person can find themselves is in this context, is a person who believes they're good enough. Do you realize that it's more difficult for a person who thinks they're good enough to respond correctly to Jesus Christ than a person who knows they've got some problems and some serious issues? The person who knows that their life has some serious problems and some serious issues responds far better, far more correctly to Jesus than does a person who thinks they're good enough. And this often happens to religious people. Religious people think they're good enough. They don't really need a Savior. It's a profound delusion that people go into. And what they become is a haven for demons, a haven for evil spirits. This is what Jesus is saying here. Right after he said, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not with me and gathering with me, then you're scattering. The next thing he talks about is this evil stuff. The most dangerous place you or I can ever find ourselves is thinking we're good enough. And that I'm going to get into heaven, that I'm going to pass the judgment because I've done some good things. No, no, no. Here's the deal. Is you better hear the word of God and obey it. It's interesting, is it not, that at the same time that Jesus was condemning and warning and speaking to that wicked generation around him were these people that were not wicked. Around him were these people that were with him and that were gathering with him and were filled with his presence. There were those people right around there. So what about them? What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen in their lives when all this evil happens, when all these demons are released upon that area, upon that land, when all these bad things begin to happen? What's going to happen to those people who aren't evil, who are good, who are God, really God lovers and filled with the presence of God? What's going to happen to them? It's really interesting as I look at it. Because you see, this is really what I want us to really hear today as we close. The thing is, you see, in real time, let me show you, first of all, this scripture in Matthew chapter 23. I want you to see this because you can look good on the outside, but on the inside just be full of evil and stench and wickedness. In Matthew 23:27, now this is only a few weeks down the road in real time. It's going to take us a long time to get there, but in real time, this was only a couple of weeks or a few months away. As Jesus says, as he's in the temple and he's blasting, he's hammered this thing. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." You think he's blasting them pretty good? "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." Now, let me tell you know, what we're talking about, one of those tombs with a big stone rolled up on it. And what they would do is they would whitewash it, and it would look really nice on the inside. But, buddy, you roll that stone away, there's maggots, decaying flesh, and dead men's bones. Stench is horrible. And what Jesus is saying, I warn you, you can look good on the outside, but on the inside, you can be rotten. And he says, listen, you got to hear this. You got to get the evil out of you. So what about this now? You got this group over here that are rotten and full of dead men bones and stench, but then you've got another group that really love Jesus. What about that? What happens to them when all this evil is released upon this land, in which it will be? You see, it did get horrific. It just in that generation, within a few years, AD 70, the Jews rebelled against Rome, and Rome released the armies upon Galilee and Judea, upon that land. And they came through there, and they demolished and desolated everything. They tore down cities and burned them. They ruined and desolated little villages. They raped women. They killed children. They destroyed Jerusalem. They crucified, in one day, 500 men. This is in your history book. This is a fact. This happened in that generation. What happened then to these people who love Jesus? Did they have to be a part of that? No, not when you hear the word and not when you obey the word. Just down the road now, about the same time of the scripture I just read you, I want to read you this, what Jesus is telling these people that aren't full of evil. He says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that the desolation is near. In other words, if you hear what I'm saying and you obey what I'm saying, you can avoid this. Then let those who are in Judea flee. What do you need to do sometimes? Flee! Now I want to explain this, and let me finish reading some of this. Flee to the mountains and let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city. Now, I want you to just see this for a second. Because you see, Jerusalem was this fortified city. It had these huge walls all around it. And what people would normally do when an army came in is they would go into Jerusalem for security and safety. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do what everybody else does. You get out of here. If you're in Judea, get out of here. Go into the mountains. The mountains are going to be better than what's going to happen here. If you're in the city, get out of it. Don't stay there for your security. Leave. And if you're outside of the city, don't run to the city for security, because that's where it's going to be bad. Finish reading that passage. For this is what? The time of what? Punishment? So you're telling me what happened in AD 70 was punishment? For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days. Why did I want to show that? Because those that heard what Jesus said and those that obeyed what Jesus said avoided the desolation. Jesus said, when that woman stood up and said what she said, blessed are you, blessed is your mama. Jesus said, no, rather, blessed is the person who hears the word and obeys it. When a preacher ask you to read God's word and let God speak to you through that word. Read it and study it and let Lord speak to you through it and then obey it. He's not just telling you to do something religiously. You know, not some religious deal. No, pray so you can hear what the Lord's saying to you. So you can obey it, right? And so when this happens, well, let me tell you, what will happen in your life is you will avoid the desolation that other people in your generation are going to be going through. And many of you have already. My admonishment to us all today is hear what he's saying. Don't be in a neutral place with Jesus. Be in there. Be with him. Don't be unfilled. Let your house be filled with him in the presence of God. But the main thing is you need to hear God speak to you through that word. And you need to obey what it says. By so doing, you're going to avoid the same things that the rest of our generation is going to go through. We can flee from it. And we can be successful and happy and not going through the same things that they're going through. Let me pray for you.